I am the world's first podcasting poet. Fighting in the army to late nights at the bar, our young Brian Flanagan has come so far. From hustling in New York for girls and tips to the beaches of Jamaica, locking lips, rich chicks, yuppies, late night sins, Jordan angrily carrying Flanagan's twins. Bottles will flip, drinks will flow. So settle in and don't move for this all new episode. The bar is open, so welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the awesome decades the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to this show, be excited that you found us, because you're about to have an extremely rad time. And for all our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by the man who actually invented the Flugelbinder. It is my good friend, Rob.
Came to me in a vision.
That's right.
Great job on the intro, though, there.
I wrote that poem.
You're a poet, and you didn't even know it.
God dang it. Why would you do that?
That's good.
All right.
Hey, we have a letter. Whenever we got Kurt in the house, we get a letter. So today's letter comes to us from Les from Southern California. He writes, I recently tried to get my driver's license in order to impress my crush, Mercedes. I failed the knowledge portion of the exam, but inadvertently caused a computer search. My failing marks were thought to be irretrievable, but the Department of Motor Vehicles let me pass the exam after comparing my test to my twin sister's high marks. I eventually passed the road test, but my real test scores were finally retrieved and my license was revoked. I tried concealing the truth from my parents, but my mother, who's on the verge of having a baby, found out the truth and my father grounded me for 2 weeks. I have previously made plans to drive my grandfather's prized 1972 Cadillac sedan DeVille. What should I do?
I'm at a loss.
All right. Well, Les, the Totally 80s and 90s Recall team reviewed your situation, and we will offer you the following advice. Number one, you were only young once, so you're going to sneak away anyway for a joyride with Mercedes. Number two, we acknowledge that this is a risky endeavor, and any number of things could happen. For example, Mercedes could get drunk, and she might pass out. It could happen. And you could accidentally cave in the hood of the car after you dance on it. Right? Number three, what you're not going to do is panic, but if you do panic, you're going to go find your best friend and see if he can fix the dent in the car's hood, because he's good at that kind of stuff. Maybe. Number four, despite any snags you might encounter, we want to encourage you to continue the joyride along with your friends. Just keep going. Number five, when in doubt, the 1972 Cadillac sedan DeVille has a large trunk space and can conceal any evidence. This includes human bodies, alive or dead. Number six, and at no time are you to reveal that you do not have your license. Number seven, Kip and the boys wanted to add some suggestions to the conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first thing they said is learn to drive in reverse. You'll never know when that'll come in handy. Yep. And they also said when driving, always keep your head on a swivel. You never know when you might encounter a falling crane or falling steel girders. Mm-hmm. I hear it's common. Less in the end, the Totally 80s, 90s Recall team is confident that the night will end with a kiss and you'll win the girl.
Yep. Wow. And that's all good advice.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Very solid. I
would also recommend for Les, whenever he's driving, practice driving with a cup of coffee right on the dash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Be very careful.
Yeah.
You don't want to spill coffee in the car.
That'll really test your skills.
It's a big mess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when you're parallel parking and all the other things you have to do.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time since I took a driving test, but I think you parallel park, right? All right. Well, solid hello. Not quite the poem I threw out there.
No, that was good.
You're not expecting that poem.
I didn't know I was that
literary, did you?
No.
Well, I was reading some Shakespeare this last week and doing some other things.
Yeah. That was right up there.
Yeah. I think I should probably put that out. That should be recorded and then people can listen to it.
I don't think so.
Maybe I should do a whole book of my thoughts.
just randomly show up at a bar and start saying it.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Yeah. I think it would work well. So, well, if you tuned into our last episode, we said at the end of it that our resident movie hound, no applause for you this week.
That's right.
Would not be with us for this episode. However, more wrong, we could not have been. He put his life priorities in order of importance, with number one, of course, being this podcast, and got himself into the studio today. Mm-hmm. We're glad you came to your senses. Welcome back, Kurt.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be hanging out with the movie boys today.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but it was not me moving my schedule around just for you.
Yes, you did.
My daughter's schedule changed. I was like, hey, I got time open.
You could have at least let us believe that.
Yes. I didn't even try to tell
anybody that my schedule had changed, and David texts me and goes, oh, I heard you're going to be home now.
That's correct.
So yeah. I was like,
you're not getting a free weekend off.
That now does sound like something he would do.
I get to talk about
the movie. He's going to latch onto that.
So, also on our last episode, we mentioned a possible special guest, and originally we were going to have the host of Bad Movies Rule on with us today, but he fell ill.
He has fallen ill.
He did fall ill, and he was unable to join us. So in the future, hopefully we'll get a chance to get him back on here. But
hopefully he's back and healthy soon.
Yeah, we wish him the best.
We wish him the best. Yep. Yes. But now that we're all in place, I know we are going to have an awesome time today, and I emphasize the word awesome. So Rob, why don't you tell everyone what we'll be covering that makes me so confident of the awesomeness?
We are talking about 1988's classic movie.
That's not a question mark. Classic.
It's a big question mark.
Exclamation point.
Tom Cruise, Juggernaut cocktail.
Juggernaut is accurate. All right. Yep. That's absolutely amazing use of words right there, actually, I would say. So how lucky are we to spend the next hour plus talking about alcohol, sex, and, as you said, Tom Cruise. Right. Well, before the three of us go all in on this movie, and I know you like this, Rob, this cinematic masterpiece, let's have some fun and roll the original theatrical trailer.
In one square mile of this saloon lies the greatest concentration of wealth in the world.
Yes. But how was a bartender gonna get his hands on any of it?
This is the big time. Are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Flanagan?
I think I can handle it.
This isn't what I ordered!
Angel Tip!
Get your act together!
A white wine!
All right! Now what was it that you ordered?
A martini!
What's in that?
There are many ways to fool a customer. You will learn them all.
Yes, Obi-Wan.
You get the women, you get the bucks. And you can see the color of their panties, and you know you've got talent. Stick with me, son, I'll make you a star.
I want you guys working for me.
This is a real opportunity.
Jet set bartenders, right?
The Caribbean Jamaica mug.
Can I buy you a drink? My rum specialties, perhaps?
Bartender with a line for everything.
The bartender.
Now, he's about to be swept off his feet.
Wish we could stay here forever.
By the one thing he didn't expect.
Don't tell me Brian Flanagan is in love.
You move me from side to side. You move me, and it feels so right.
This lady's gonna do a number on you, mate.
This is more than just a one-night stand.
You made a move on her?
I'm your friend, you dumbass!
I don't have any friends!
As of now, that is for sure!
Your sexy little smile's not gonna work this time.
What the hell's this?
That's for you.
$10,000. Is that all your daughter's worth?
You think I'm letting some bartender walk into my family?
I love you. I want to marry you.
Throw this bum out of here!
You're so hung up on money.
See this?
Jordan!
This is how hung up on money I am. And as for the way I feel about you, I wish you never know.
Cocktail.
Man, how could that not get you into the theater? That sounds pretty amazing. That song that's playing is nowhere in the movie, by the way.
No, it's not.
And it sounds like Rick Astley. If you're like, move me.
It is.
It's on the soundtrack?
Well, no, but I believe it is Rick Astley.
I believe it's Rick Astley. Yeah, move me.
We just got Rick Rhodes.
It sounds like him. I didn't research that part. It just, what I hear sounds like Rick Astley.
So. It made me move.
I like it.
Maybe not.
And it's not in the movie. Move me. All right. So, well, anyway.
I want to know now.
Great. Great. I love that trailer.
It's good.
Gets me pumped up. I was already pumped up. Now I'm more pumped. So, well, we'll start real quick.
That gets you pumped
up. That's more pumped. Yes. All right.
When you're getting ready for the week.
Yeah. Get ready for the week.
You just pop in a cocktail trailer.
Move me. Gets me going every time. So, all right, you two, what do you remember about this movie? When I ask you that question, think of it as seeing it the first time. I don't need your whole opinion on what you think of it now. I just wonder when the first time you watched it, what you remembered about it before we did our research for the pod.
Let's see here. I remember Kelly in the bikini.
Oh, nice.
Very nice. Trying to act like Pocahontas. Everybody wants to look at her.
Very nice.
Yep. Okay. Very nice.
I've confirmed.
Oh.
It is Rick Astley.
Rick Astley.
Yep. Yeah. The title of the song is You Move Me.
I mean, I got that part. Yep.
In case anybody was not unclear.
Sure of what the song was.
As to the...
So good.
All right.
Yeah, I basically just remember it because of the ladies as impressionable youth.
Yes.
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 It was at that time.
It is good. What about you, Rob?
Gosh, to be quite honest, I don't remember a lot about the movie.
Ooh.
But I had the cassette soundtrack.
Yeah, I had the soundtrack too.
But I don't know. I don't remember why I had it. I don't know why.
We've discussed this on a previous podcast.
My parents bought it for me. I remember. Yeah. I think it was either a Christmas present or something.
Christmas.
But I don't remember the movie. So the music to me was the first thing I knew about this movie.
So your remembrance is the movie. So now we've gone and watched the movie and now we're going to break it down. So now we'll know how Rob really feels about it. Yeah. We almost take this as a your first time watching situation.
Almost, because I think probably the last time I'd watched it was probably when I was in 88.
Who'd you watch it with?
Probably my family.
Who'd you watch it with now?
Oh, by myself. No, I watched
it with the wife?
So my wife checked in a couple times as I was watching it, and then to my surprise, she was quoting it as we were watching it. So she knows
very
it well.
Quotable.
Yeah, that is different than my wife. I tried to go watch it in the same room as her. She went ahead and left and went to read a book.
No, my wife likes this movie.
My wife hates this movie, but watched the whole thing with me. And my 17-year-old son also, for the first time in his life,
how'd he feel about
watched the whole movie. I actually have something about that later. So we'll go over that later in the show.
I think you'll be surprised at my reaction.
I don't think I'm going to be surprised. I think I'm totally expecting what your reaction is going to be. So all the movies we've done up to this point have pretty much been slam dunk. We like the movies no matter what. This is the first one we picked where I thought there could be some dissension, but we'll let you find the positive. And if you, I don't know how you'd find negative, but if you were able to, you can go ahead and bring those out during the show, Rob. You got ample opportunity to throw some of that stuff in there. So, all right. Well, let's mix. That's a word. Let's mix up a red eye and drink our weight in daiquiris as we take a look back at perhaps the greatest movie about bartending and other random stuff. Let's head to New York for a stiff cocktail. All right. Well, for those of you that have been longtime fans on our, I think, fourth episode, that was Songs of 88. You and I both featured Kokomo as that was a number one hit in America.
That was.
In case anyone was wondering.
It was everywhere.
So it was everywhere.
Well, John Beach Stamos Boys. Had everything.
Oh.
John Stamos.
Yeah,
he was back there.
Jesse.
He was
steel drum.
On the steel drums.
Percussion.
Bongos or something.
We'll call him percussion.
I don't know.
All right. So in between drinking your Singapore Sling or your Ding-a-ling, you'll need to realize you never want to miss any episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. So take a quick second and hit that subscribe button. If you haven't done so already, then buy a round of this podcast for your friends and share it with them so they can also get drunk on all the amazing episodes that make up the Dave and Rob experience every week. Just like any great bar, we love our regulars, but always want to see new customers.
Nice.
No.
I like it.
That's
that's good. We always like seeing new customers.
We do. Every week.
Yeah.
So here at Totally 80s and 90s Recall, we like to give you the listeners the important info about the movie. And since he loves tracking down all that info for us, and he was able to make it here today, Kurt, take it away.
All righty. Thank you. Well, Cocktail, the movie was based off a book of the same name by Haywood Gould.
You got to get that book.
Do you?
I think so.
I believe it's very different than the movie.
I
was shocked that you don't have it.
Yeah.
Because you're a reader.
Yeah.
I am a reader.
And a poet.
And a poet. And I was just going to say, he's a literary master.
I'm apparently a genius.
Apparently.
That's what I am.
That's correct. Okay.
Look at him not turning it down.
He's no, like, not
apparently,
at all.
Yeah,
he's a very humble man.
Yeah,
he's very humble.
I don't like to brag about myself.
I don't like to toot my own horn.
However, I don't toot my own horn.
He's a tutor.
I don't do that often.
Ask his wife. He's a tutor.
Boo.
Boo.
Just do your job.
Not right.
All right, here we go. Sorry. All right, so as I said, it was based off a book by the same name by Haywood Gould, and it was directed by Australian and New Zealand director Roger Donaldson. It was released on July 29th, 1988. The movie was a box office smash by earning over $170 million on a budget of just $20 million. Cocktail stars Tom Cruise as young Mr. Flanagan. Everybody will have to say it with an accent when
you
they say it.
You have to. You can't say it otherwise.
Can't say it otherwise. Right. Brian Brown as Douglas Coughlin, logical negativist. Elizabeth Shue as Jordan Mooney, not Monet. And Kelly Lynch as so Doug's rich wife, Kelly Conklin. Cocktail has a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of a whopping 9% and an audience score a little higher at 58%.
All right.
So it has a good wide range.
One of those big gaps Rob likes to talk about.
He does like the gaps.
On the Rotten Tomatoes. I'll specify on the Rotten Tomatoes. So.
That's right. Now, I do know that you movie boys are really music men.
Yes.
So here is some info on the music that we were talking a little bit about. The soundtrack sold over 4 million in the U.S. and around 6 million total in the world. It featured the number one hits, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin and Kokomo by, I guess, most of the Beach Boys.
Most of them.
It also included radio hits by Starship, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, the Georgia Satellites, Little Richard, and John Cougar Mellencamp.
The Cougar.
Now, Robert, while David and I crack an egg and have a red eye, can you please give the listeners a little bit about the plot?
All right. So this is a little segment. And I'm trying something new.
Oh, we like the new. Ooh.
Called Back of the Box.
Yes.
So I tapped into AI.
Oh.
I said, hey, AI, help me write a jingle.
I like it.
Ooh, a jingle.
I don't know if it's very good, but well, here
last we go. Time I hear, last time I was here, we did sing, so I want to hear you right. sing this jingle.
So here is here we go. A segment we like to call Back of the Box. How do you think AI did?
That is good.
Pretty good, actually.
That's pretty good.
And I like it.
I just said, hey, AI, I need a song that says something about Back of the Box. And that's what they gave me.
Is that you singing?
No.
Oh, that's
AI. That's just all
I didn't know if AI took your voice and put it. Okay.
No. Well, there you go. Back of the Box.
Sounds great, though.
I like it.
Not that they did.
All right.
All right. So Back of the Box. This is what you would have read on the Back of the Box. It's a Friday night. You're going to go. It's 1988. You want to rent a movie.
Who would have been renting that movie? The movie boys.
No.
The movie boys.
That's who'd have been renting that movie.
Yeah. Walk the Blockbuster with your flashlights.
That's right. Rob's got a freaking Twizzler hanging out of his mouth.
All right. Back of the box. Tom Cruise is electrifying as Brian Flanagan, a young, confident, and ambitious bartender who, with the help of a seasoned pro, Brian Brown, Gorillas in the Mist, becomes the toast of Manhattan's Upper East Side. But when he moves to Jamaica and meets an independent artist, Elizabeth Shue, Adventures in Babysitting, a vivid romance brings a new perspective to the self-centered bartender's life. Sizzling with high-powered performances and a number one hit soundtrack, the box office blockbuster Cocktail has it all.
Ooh, you said it. It has it all. We almost don't. Shut it down. Turn it off.
I'm going to steal this from you because I know it's coming up. So taglines.
Taglines. Ooh, yes. Ooh, great. I didn't do taglines for this one. So good for you.
When he pours, he reigns.
I love it.
So R-E-I-G-N-S.
I would really like a t-shirt.
That's really stupid.
Oh, it's great.
The other tagline I found is they thought he was good. They were wrong. He was the best.
Hold on.
That's almost better than the other one.
The voice needs a hold of that. They thought he was good. They were wrong. He's the best.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Both of those are awful.
Those are great. Someone got paid a lot of money to write those.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
So,
sizzling.
Well, sizzling. That Back of the Box is really good. I really like that. So that's
it was good. A surprise. I liked it.
It's a surprise, back young Flanagan. All right. Well, for anyone new to the show, we're going to go over our favorite parts of the movie by looking at some categories I've identified because these two make me do all the work. But before we jump into those, we like to just discuss some of the fun or crazy things about the movie. So we're going to start with the obvious as we look at it and the casting choices. What did we think of the cast of this movie?
Ooh. Well, the casting choice of Tom Cruise really changed the entire movie.
Yes.
Because the original book, he was supposed to be like a 38-year-old middle-aged guy going through some things. And then when Tom Cruise said, hey, I'll do it, and they're like, the movie company said, we'll give you a bunch of money to actually make it. They're like, okay, let's change it then.
Well, it's got to be different because it starred Tom Cruise. So is this even a movie if Tom Cruise isn't in it?
I think.
Oh, no.
What do you think?
I like this movie. I actually like this movie more than I thought.
What do you say?
Yeah.
What do you say? Just say it.
I like this movie more than I thought I did.
Ah, beautiful.
But here's, I think this movie missed an opportunity.
No, it didn't mess it. Everything perfect.
No, I think this movie could have been a lot better. I think the premise is really good.
Yeah.
And I think probably if we were to read the book, I bet you the book.
All right. We're not changing the movie. Better.
And apparently the original screenplay, the Brian Brown had originally said it was much darker and everything
else.
He
said it was the best screenplay he had ever read.
All right. So I've heard that in a lot of things.
And
so.
And then
Ben Affleck said Geely was the best screenplay he'd ever read. And
then when people got a hold of it.
It was pretty good.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
But then when they got a hold of it.
Yeah.
By the end, he was like, yeah, it wasn't.
It's just.
Yeah. Tom Cruise says it's not his best moment.
Tom Cruise is a cranky old guy, so it's fine. But the point is this is just 2 hours.
Gotten to him.
This is just 2 hours of Tom getting to just be Tom. Like, basically, this is if you took Maverick out of the plane and stuck him in a bar, that's all it is. It's like, just do that again.
Tom cannot dance. He tried to do like a little chicken dance thing. I don't know what he was trying behind the 3 feet of mahogany, but it wasn't working. He dances
just fine.
Oh, so. Look at you bringing out the 3 feet of mahogany. I like it.
You almost said monogamy.
Well, monogamy.
Yeah. As you said, Cruz not the first choice for the film.
That's right.
Actually, Robin Williams was considered initially for the role of young Mr. Flanagan.
Mm-hmm.
Which he would have been then old Mr. Flanagan.
So is that like just Good Morning Vietnam, but behind the bar?
But behind the bar.
Good morning, cocktails and dreams.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have gone. I don't know if I would have liked it. Yeah.
Can I get a rum and coke? Or I got a rum and coke. he's back there doing all his voices. So
that's good.
Yeah, but Robin Williams would be good. I also saw Jack Nicholson, Dustin Hoffman, Michael Caine, and Dudley Moore all considered for Doug Coughlin. Caine and Moore offered. The role both turned him down because Caine had to film Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Uh-huh. Good choice.
Michael Caine.
Moore had to film Arthur 2 on the Rocks.
Ooh, yeah.
Bad choice.
No, so that's perfect.
You can see Michael Caine in this.
Yeah.
Coughlin's blows. Yeah. No Brolin in here. Get out of here.
Yeah, he would have been good.
No, he would have been. It would have been too weird. He's too good to be in this movie.
That's true.
The problem. Yeah. If you put Michael Caine in this, it makes it, it elevates it
Coughlin,
too much.
Coughlin's got kind of a.
The guy they picked.
A sleazy side to him.
And he doesn't have that, right? You know, you can't see proper. Michael Caine as
he's
a
the friend, bartender. He's the friendly old guy. He would have been like.
Even when he was a domesticated. Butler in Batman, he's really an MI6 operative who's just taking care of Bruce. Master Wayne. So that's what he would have called him in the whole movie, Master Flanagan.
Master Flanagan.
I'll tell you, I read that it won 2 Golden Raspberry Awards.
Yes.
Worst picture, worst screenplay. Yes. He was nominated for worst actor.
He was.
Donald, the guy that directed it, was nominated for worst director.
Yes.
The film is listed in Golden Raspberry Award founder John Wilson's book, The Official Razzie Movie Guide, as one of the 100 most enjoyable bad movies ever.
That's great.
And then the film was nominated for worst picture of the 1988 Stinkers Bad Movie Awards, but lost to Caddyshack 2.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mrs. Esther Howells.
And then somewhere else I read that he holds the record, if I can find it here. Oh, yeah, here. Cruise's other film, in 1980, he also did Rain Man, which got Best Picture.
Yes.
So in doing so, he became the first and as of 2024, the only actor to star in a Worst Picture Razzie winner and Best Picture Oscar winner in the same year.
That's great. That's showing the range right there. Right. So
showing the range. I can do crap and then cinematic masterpiece.
But it's cinematic crap is a cinematic crappy masterpiece. Yeah. What do we call it? The lovable garbage. Yeah.
Well,
lovable garbage.
And then one of the episodes we talked about was, what's his name? John Cusack talks about how he does crappy movies.
Yeah, to get paid.
To make money.
Do his good ones.
To invest in the projects that he wants to do. So yeah, I mean, there's probably truth to that. You know.
Well, Elizabeth Shue, who plays Jordan.
Yep.
Also not first choice.
I was going to say, I had
Jennifer Grey, Ali Sheedy, Demi Moore. Which one do you want?
I don't know. Demi.
I'll take them both.
Demi Moore and Daryl Hannah all auditioned before her.
Yeah.
And then they gave it to her because she had kind of a girl next door vibe, yeah, which is what they're going for.
Are you sure it just wasn't, she fit the one black swimsuit they had on set? Because that's all she ever wore the whole time.
I have that down. How is that your only swimsuit? We were watching it. I'm like, oh, she's in the one piece black swimsuit again. Like, what can I wear every day for my 2-week vacation here in? Yeah. And all the other girls on the beach are wearing bikinis.
Well, she's
poor Elizabeth Shue's like, here, put on this one piece like you're going to a swim meet. No one will notice.
She's a struggling art student.
She's the worst artist I've ever seen in my life.
That looked nothing like Tom Cruise. Worst.
She does that drawing of him. It is horrible. And back in her loft, there's a drawing of a camel. There's a drawing of a shirtless bald guy. That waterfall is hideous. Like, I don't know.
No, it's good.
Like, when he goes, is that our waterfall? I don't know how he figured that out. It's just like,
it's just a waterfall.
Know. Well, Tom Cruise calls her out on the beach. She goes, this looks nothing like me.
She goes, she's an awful artist.
She's an artist that knows she doesn't have to worry about money.
I was going
to
say, it's a good thing she's rich because she's not making any money off selling these things.
Just struggling.
Although the weird slick back hair guy is selling trash as art, and it was fine. So in New York in the 80s, anything could be art. But she's a horrible artist.
That's
like,
right.
It reminds me on Not Another Teen Movie. I think we talked about that. When she draws like crazy and then it's just a stick figure
with a sunshine.
That's what I imagine Jordan drawing in her loft doing. Because, so what I also love about the casting, obviously, because you got Tom Cruise, is you get every part of Tom Cruise in this movie. You get smiling Cruise, frowning Cruise, laughing Cruise, confused looking Cruise.
You get screaming.
You get like, screaming Cruise.
Panicked.
Pensive Cruise, kind of just thought provoking, and then trying really hard to cry Cruise.
Yes.
Not really crying, but trying so hard. He had one tear in each eye just hanging on for dear life. But you know what he couldn't get? He couldn't get the single tear. It never did the cheek roll. It just hung in the lashes.
He's not a crier, though.
Oh, he tries though. He does
in
that.
Any movie. Has he ever cried in a movie?
But he does I've that squirrel face. Even Cocktail, in Top Gun, it's just a, but he's angry.
Yeah. So I don't know.
He's a good crying non-crier.
Good crying.
That makes no sense.
It looked like he was struggling to poop.
That makes no sense.
Rob says that makes no sense.
That makes no sense.
Well, on to some interesting facts about the movie. As you both have alluded to, reviews were not overly kind across the board. But I will say my favorite one that I saw, and actually my wife read it to me, Wall Street Journal. They said the movie is so bad it could bring back Prohibition. That's what it said. I found that review to be quite. So I was like, okay, I'll give you credit for that. That's pretty good. So.
I had one review that says, there are no surprises in Cocktail, a shallow, dramatically inert romance that squanders Tom Cruise's talents in what amounts to a naive barkeep's banal fantasy.
That's good. There's lots of reviews we can find.
We could go through
that don't
a few.
Talk about. It being the best movie anyone's ever seen. Yeah. So this was not meant to win Oscars, Rob. I don't think they were filming this and they thought, "Ooh, this is gonna be the one right here."
Yeah.
So
he and Tom Cruise, like we said, his quote was, "It was not his crowning jewel of his career."
I think he's doing a great job.
Right? I think he's doing just fine.
You know what we do need to talk about a little bit is so you mentioned Rain Man. So he was doing Rain Man, so they did reshoots because he came back. So my son and I both noticed while we're watching this, and you probably both noticed too, his hair.
Yes.
Oh.
Literally, there's a scene where he's in the lobby and his hair is long, like over his ears. And then when he gets upstairs in the elevator, it's short and no longer, like he has his Rain Man do half the time and then the other time. But it'll go shot to shot, like a day difference, and he's got different hair every single time.
Yeah, I noticed that one.
What is going on with your hair?
I noticed that one when he was going to all the interviews for jobs. Yeah. His hair is big and helmety. Yeah. And then when he's walking in front of the TGI Fridays, it's all cut on the like sides above the ears.
Like he just got out of the Army.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
That's funny.
Yeah, so they did the so whoever edited this movie, they're like, hey, do you think they'll notice that his hair looks not the same at all? Nah, it's fine.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
It's just Cocktail. I mean, what's anybody going to complain about here? So,
So I have a list here. Based off, there's filmboard.com had a list of 101 things I learned from Cocktail.
Are you going into bash on this thing or is this?
No, I think it's legit.
You cannot read all 101 of those.
No, I'm going to read 20 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to go fast.
Buckle up, kids.
Because we didn't learn a lot.
Okay.
Number one, if you're Tom Cruise, you can get on a Greyhound bus without a ticket.
That's correct. You can also get on a Greyhound bus with your bag, but then get off and pull it out from underneath the bus.
Different stop. You put it underneath. Maybe.
Number two, champagne is perfume going in and sewage going out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Number three, when a waitress is dumping food and ketchup all over you, don't try to stop her or get out of the way or even lift your arms. Just sit patiently until she's finished.
And don't worry if it's hot as anything.
With drippy food all over you, so you can smile like a goof and tell the couple at the next table that they really don't want to see the special.
They don't.
Number four. If you're a young woman of wealthy background and artistic bent, a good idea would be to marry a man who works late hours in a job that has no future, little status, and is prone to alcoholism. Then get pregnant with twins.
Yes.
You'll pat yourself on the back when you hit 40.
That is correct.
Number five, beers for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Number six, despite what everyone will tell you, books don't teach you how to do the hippie shake. Number seven, bartenders in a tropical island getaway resorts have a lot of free time to go horseback riding, swim under waterfalls, and they can run off to the beach during a shift and leave the bar and cash register unattended to do nothing to assist a passed out drunk.
He was saving her life. He told them to call the ambulance.
Okay. Number eight, when you're angry with someone, invite them into your apartment just so you can kick them out.
Perfect.
It works like a charm. Mm-hmm. It's a bonus if you tell them you're pregnant and state you knew that telling them about the pregnancy would be the best way to get them out of your life.
She's smart.
Number nine, when you hand a bartender your money, it's for change. When you put it on the edge of the bar, it's a tip.
It's a tip.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Uncle Pat.
Number 10, if you're a Mets fan and you expect a free drink, expect to be hit over the head hard enough to have your eye pop out of your head. Number 11, falling downstairs is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Number 12, all things end badly, otherwise they wouldn't end.
I like that one.
Whatever. Number 13, the guy who invented the Fluger binder is rich.
Yep.
Number 14, JUCO professors in New York are not very nice and they hide out in junior colleges because they can't hack it in the real world.
And have great mustaches.
Yeah. Yes.
Number 15,
big chins.
Neon signs apparently go blink, blink, blinkity blink.
Yes.
Okay.
He's stealing all my stuff right now. Right.
I know.
Number 16, the budget for Tom Cruise's Irish dialogue coach seems to have been about $1.25.
It was good.
Yeah.
A fine Irish son.
Number 17, after you kill yourself on a boat, your funeral will take place straight away before most people know you're dead.
Yep.
Number 18, 70-30 is a partner who knows his place. Number 18, if you ever come across your best friend laying in a pool of blood, what you're going to want to do is immerse your hands in the blood.
Being the only other person on the boat.
Yes. And then hold them up to your face. And then you're going to want to go,
And by the way,
scream for help.
Oh, then by the way, you're getting arrested immediately because your alibi is, I took his wife home.
That's right.
That is the worst alibi in the world. And then they're going to go, so you were cheating with his wife? No, I didn't do anything. But didn't you fight earlier because he cheated with your girlfriend? Yeah. He's in jail immediately.
I mean, I did kiss her, but
you're covered in blood. Yeah. You took his wife home. Your alibi's bad.
That's right.
You're in jail, Flanagan.
And then number 20, if you want to know real hatred, give somebody crabs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Those are 20 things we learned from Cocktail.
Well, I have a couple things I noticed from the movie. And you're going to have to, now he got his 20. I get to stick with me and then we'll come to you. So I've got a couple. So when they're in Jamaica, and I'm not the first person to notice this. I'm sure other podcasts have pulled this little nugget out of the sky. But Home Alone Universe, I think Kurt and I talked about this. So the actor Gary Bamman, he plays Uncle Frank in Home Alone, who everyone hates. Look what you did, you little jerk.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
He walks up to the bar right when you get to Jamaica, right? And he says, the brochure promised me a drink on the house, pal. And he goes, get me one of those pink things. That's Uncle Frank. So you know what the reality is? The McAllisters are probably on one of their annual vacations somewhere out there on the beach.
Uh-huh.
Kevin and them are running around. Uncle Frank's up here trying to get more free stuff. Because Uncle Frank's stealing things off airplanes, getting free drinks.
Look at you.
So that's Uncle Frank. That's one.
Okay.
All right. Two, the dad who plays Brandon and Brenda Walsh's, the actor who plays their dad.
James
Eckhouse on 90210.
Okay.
He's also sitting at the bar. So this is a year and a half before they moved to Beverly Hills. So that attorney, the law firm may be like trying to recruit him.
Yeah.
They've sent him and his family on Jamaica.
Okay. He was not talking to his wife in the background. No,
she's out on the beach. But Brandon and Brenda are out on the beach. They're eighth graders at this point. They're running around having a good time.
The cocktail multiverse.
So this is what's going on that part right there. And here's the last one.
Okay.
I had concerns at the end that young Mr. Flanagan has put this bar together. And it is quite a bar. There's some money that needs to be done there. He says
he's getting the beach?
No, Cocktails and Dreams.
Oh, that one.
His actual bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty good location. Pretty fancy. Mm-hmm. He said he's getting a loan from Uncle Pat. I question Uncle Pat's money that he can. His bar is not impressive.
He's in the Irish mob.
He's got people.
Okay, but I don't get that. Here's what I get. So when they take Jordan and he leaves the apartment, the dad says, "You're cut off. You get nothing." Right?
You get nothing.
That's what he says. You're getting nothing. Not a dime for me.
And he says, "I want it that way."
That's the way I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, that's what
I said. I watched it three times. Pause it every time. When they're at Pat's bar at the wedding, dancing, there's a free spot where they're dancing. Tom Cruise is going this way. Jordan's dad is standing in the crowd behind him, watching them dance. 100%. He's standing in there. So this is my theory.
They made up.
He bankrolled that Cocktails and Dreams. What happened was after throwing Jordan out and Tom Cruise, Flanagan, the mom stepped in and goes, "Look, Jordan's not, we're not forgetting her.
Yeah.
We can't let her be poor with this bartender. You're going to pay for this bar, and we're going to make sure she's taken care of. And you're going to go to the wedding," because he's frowning in the wedding. He's standing there really upset. But he's there. You can go watch. It's when they show, remember the drunk at the bar?
Yeah.
He's standing with the waitress from TGI Fridays directly over their shoulder. The dad is standing there watching them dance. So he's at the wedding. And then I think he pays for the bar to get Flanagan going.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Do you suppose that is really how it went? Like in the original screenplay in the book?
I have no other explanation. Right?
I don't read, so I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Why, after all of that, look, he had a doorman beat him up. He had the doorman almost beat up his daughter.
That doorman was smoking on the job.
I know.
That was the terrible. Best one.
He's the 80s. Like,
where'd they get this guy?
Hey, Mrs. Mooney.
He's out on probation after getting caught with the Die Hard crew. And so he's just, I need another job, right? Yeah. So you got the tough guy doorman, right? So, I think the mom stepped in and was like, "Nope, we're not cutting her off." And so he paid for Cocktails and Dreams. Now, when this gets franchised in every mall in America, as Mr. Flanagan says, I'm sure dad's like, "I get 15% of that." You know, like he's going to get some return on investment because he's a businessman living on Park Avenue.
Okay.
That's right.
But he's at the wedding. I finally noticed it and I rewound it many, many times. He's right there in the background.
Okay.
So obviously he wasn't as angry as we thought that he was.
Good on you.
So we've got a Home Alone universe. We've got a 90210 universe. And we've got the dad probably bankrolling Cocktails and Dreams.
Oh, so look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you see the amount of research you actually do in the movie? You can see what the movie's actually, that it has many layers that you just assume was superficial.
No.
It's not a no. But, and by the way, the Flugelbinder is a real thing.
I know, but it's not called
It's called an aglet.
It's called an aglet.
Yes.
So. What is it? Phineas and Ferb told me that because they had an entire Phineas and Ferb episode about it.
Well, as I said, it says so much about our generation. That's where we get our information. Where'd you learn that? Phineas and Ferb.
That's right.
Everything I need to know, I learned on TV.
So I do have some questions about the movie. Look, this plot's pretty airtight, right? What I'll admit is the plot seems to be a moving plot. Doesn't seem like a solid plot.
But true.
If you really if you watch the movie, tell me what you think the plot of the movie is. Not the back of the box thing. What do you think the plot of the movie is?
The plot?
Yes. What are we supposed, like, what are we, what's the point of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I
wanted to put words to it. I think because it's kind of the 80s.
Yeah.
It's got kind of the 80s stereotype about excess. Yeah. Right? So 80s were all about excess and more and business and capitalism and making it big, right?
Got it.
And then
making it big.
Right? And then that dilemma, the fight, the tension between wanting to make it big and what really matters.
Okay.
Right. And that's what young Brian Flanagan is fighting against, right?
So
he's fighting against his humble upbringing.
Okay.
Because we know he's, of Irish, Scotch Irish.
That's right.
Well, his Uncle Pat, he's obviously foreclosed on his apartment. So, he had a rough life. He went off to the military, right?
Yeah.
So we know he's this blue collar kid coming up out of nothing.
I gotcha.
And he's trying to make it big, right? And then he has to.
So that's the thing.
We're overcoming class issues. We're overcoming,
very deep.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kurt? What's your idea? What do you think the plot's supposed to be?
I think it was a dude trying to just make a lot of money, figuring out it was hard to do.
There you go.
And he had to fill in the holes until he could do it.
So so I think when the movie starts, that's the impression you get is he wants to make it rich and quick. Like, I want to get rich quick, right? So the movie's going that way. Then you jump to the Jamaica scene.
Yeah.
And it feels like the whole point of the movie kind of shifts. I'm not sure. So it starts out as a get rich story and then evolves into a buddy movie with him.
Yeah.
But then they have the breakup, as you said. Now it becomes a romantic vehicle with Jordan, only to end up as a drama at the end with pregnancies, suicide.
Yeah.
A lot of drama, fighting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it feels like there's multiple plots going on in this movie and not just a solid plot.
I really liked it. There was a point where he's getting the lesson. I think it might've been kind of the first real lesson he's getting from Doug.
When did he get that lesson?
Where they're behind the bar and he's got, I'll bring it up later. He's got a really great dialogue, really good dialogue.
He's got really great dialogue.
He does.
I think is some award-winning dialogue.
I think the writing in this is actually really good.
That's crazy.
I do. I think I actually have really good writing.
I look forward to this conversation later.
We've been drinking, folks. Yeah.
Usually it's just Rob, but today it's all of us.
Apparently we're all drinking.
I had a kamikaze and a
ding-a-ling.
Sing more, sling in the ding-a-ling.
No, but there's a point where I liked it. I liked the dark. And then about the Jamaica, when that whole thing happens, then for me, it kind of falls apart.
I think when Doug dies, Flanagan's reading that letter and he's supposed to learn this like money isn't everything lesson, right? Like do what makes you happy or whatever that letter is supposed to be telling you, right? Only to then find out Jordan's rich.
Yeah.
He still gets to open a bar. Mm-hmm. He's going to put it in every mall in America. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he actually learned any lessons. He got to be a jerk, cheat on her. Treat everybody really poorly, and he still got the bar he wanted, got to get married, everything worked out.
Yeah, and I think it hits all the 80s.
But he learned a lesson.
But he didn't. Yeah. I think he learned no lessons.
But I think
the part where he's like, I don't care about your dad's money, only do I think have the dad bankroll the bar after all. So,
but I think that goes back to that. I think it really hits all those 80s tropes about capitalism and making it and, you know, kind of the misogynistic times that were the 80s. You know, there's so many misogynistic comments in this movie about women and you know, but it doesn't matter because we made it.
We did
it. Right? We did it. At the expense of this poor girl. Now she's pregnant with twins, which
she's fine.
And the marriage is gonna fail.
Look,
you know, we know it.
She's six months pregnant in a bar at 10 o'clock at night that's all covered in smoke. Yeah, no, I'll just hang out here all night. Right.
He doesn't change. He's not changing.
When my wife was 6 months pregnant, she was not in fact, we were in Las Vegas when Kurt's wife.
Oh, yeah. She was having a good time.
She was not going anywhere. Like, she was back in the room at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. No. Kurt and I are just wandering the streets of Vegas on our own.
And he's in it. He's trying to get into an industry that is historically late nights. Yeah. You know, you're trying to start a business.
That's not good.
You can't start a family.
What dad is he? Yeah.
No,
what,
you know. It's not going to work.
It's funny that you brought that up because I was reading an article and it was about the writer was talking about how he had began to work on a sequel, and it was how 20 to 30 years later, of course, he's estranged from his wife, doesn't talk to his kids and everything else, and how now he's going to learn a new lesson to come back to them.
He's Uncle Pat 30 years later.
I was just going to say that. Thing. He's going to, where that sequel starts, is him running Uncle Pat's bar.
No,
everything fell apart.
No, he'll be in Cocktails and Dreams. It's just now going to look like Uncle Pat's bar. It's going to be all run down. Like the neon sign doesn't turn on all the way now.
Only half of it.
It's just going to be all crazy.
It's not going to blinkety blink anymore.
No more blinkety blinks.
Blinkety blink.
All right. So my last thing I want to jab at a little on this movie is, so they're at the beginning in this TGI Fridays, which by the way, seems to be the most popular bar in Manhattan. I didn't know TGI Fridays had it like that in the '80s, but it is on fire. Like there are more people in there than I've ever seen in a TGI Fridays in my life.
I noticed also apartments upstairs. Who wants to live above that TGI Fridays?
Yeah. Well, they're having fun down there. So. But these two are serving drinks. You are never getting a drink in this place. They spend 5 minutes making two drinks.
Yeah. Sometimes only one because they work on it together.
And I'm like, no one's, if you're in the back and not right at the bar, you're like, hey, waitress, is my rum and coke coming or what are we doing here? Like, it's volume in these places. Yeah. We got to get drinks out. And they're doing poetry. They're doing serve drinks, like be bartenders. And if you're going to be those kind of bartenders where they're doing a show,
you got to have another guy just making regular drinks.
There should
drinks.
Be a guy just making drinks and they come on 4 or 5 times a night, get their tips and go away. But if you're relying on them to fill all the drinks in the place, it's horrendous.
I don't know how those two bartenders are doing everybody in that cell block, three-story bar.
It's impossible. Then again, they're doing poetry and they're doing all these things. I'm like, they're doing everything but serving drinks. They're fighting, they're doing poetry. Yeah. He he's making googly eyes with Gina Gershon. Like, you're doing everything but actually serving
the drinks. TGI Fridays has a, I mean, is so hopping.
Oh my gosh.
That it's got a photographer. And she comes and takes pictures.
Well, in and the cell block, too. No,
I was going to say.
That was at the cell block, right? Yeah. The TGI Fridays, though, what was it? I'm getting serious F me eyes from the girl at the bar, and then her husband shows up. Yeah. Watch out, young Flanagan. Yeah. Here comes the husband. That's
right. I like how TGI Fridays is so hopping. The guy with the hottest club in town is coming there.
He comes there to get a drink.
To get his drink.
That'd be like going to Applebee's.
He's like, hey, they're like, hey, boss, where you heading? I'm going over to TGI Fridays.
They got these two guys that can make an apple martini.
They got these two guys. They flip bottles.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
They will drop the mixing cups on the ground and then still use them, but it's okay. Yeah. It's
fine. I'm sure the floor is real clean.
I mean, he only has to wring his socks out at night. It's just okay.
A couple times. So gross.
That's right. I got to go scout these two dudes.
Over at TGI
Fridays. You guys working for me. Do you think that's a contract involved, or just like you just show up and now you put on the prison shirt and now you're just working there?
Yeah.
That bar is not set up well either. The four tiers.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, if you come in and you end up at the top, how do you get to the bar? Is there people? It seems.
They're 20 pieces of flair.
It's crazy.
Especially when people keep stopping on the stairs to yell out poetry.
Yeah. The world's.
I'm never getting to the bar.
First yuppie poet.
Yeah.
I like it the poetry.
It reminds me of when we were in college and we'd go to Pounders.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
I remember Pounders being that way. It was so packed. It was such a tight little place.
Tried to get in.
You'd have to order a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Because by the next time you got up
you just had to know the manager.
I know the manager. He's got the story.
You just have to stand next to the cash register and secretly tell them.
Yeah.
But Pounders had a great set of stairs.
They did.
I only fell down once.
That was not good. Yeah. All but right. Falling downstairs is allowed.
Yeah. And when you fall downstairs like that, no injuries, no shoulder separation, no concussion, everything's fine.
I'm sure you woke up in the morning.
You okay? Yeah, don't worry.
It's good.
I fall down regularly.
You can't puke in public or pass out, but you can fall downstairs.
I did want to ask you, Rob, a little evaluation on Tom Cruise's jump shot. Were you happy with that jump shot?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Looked like a two-handed shot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, and he was making it.
The one behind his head where he just tossed it in.
I'm trying to figure out when they turned around and were shooting behind him and he was making them. Was it actually him?
I don't know.
To look it up and couldn't find it.
I like their
he got that scrub from the internet. He did. I was shooting it.
Yeah, I like their little the basketball tossing it back and forth. Yeah. A little harder each time.
A little harder. It's not a one-night stand. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's building that drama you were talking about. So, all right. Well, we're ready to jump in and check out our favorite parts of the movies of this movie. It won't be multiple movies. It'll just be the cocktail.
Just the one this time.
So let's head on over to our categories.
Categories!
It was. I think I preempted it. He preempted it.
It was,
he didn't do good.
It was a little bit. Here, try again.
One for two.
Get to the categories.
You've made Arnold upset.
Yeah.
Chicken and rice for you.
I think you were pitching a perfect game here.
No chicken and rice for you.
Yeah, you were pitching a perfect game.
Anymore.
Nope.
That sucks.
All right. Well, we're going to.
That's okay.
Despite the sucking of that part, we're going to jump into category one.
It's
always our category one. It is our favorite quote of the movie. Quote, or if you have a little dialogue, that's okay. Yeah. Maybe not 20 things, Rob, but a dialogue. We'll start this out with Kirk. What do you got, Kirk?
Good. Mine's going to be short and sweet.
Ooh, good one.
It's the one I usually say.
Ooh.
It's just, sweetheart, come hither.
Yes.
I just like the hither.
My wife hates the movie, and as soon as that happened, she did it. She's like, come hither. Everybody knows that part.
And what's funny is because I say that, and I think maybe that's where I got it from. Yeah. I didn't put them together.
It's a subliminal message in your head. So, all right, Rob, what do you got?
Earlier we talked about I think Doug Coughlin had some of the best. He had the best dialogue in the movie.
I got you.
And
he did.
But one of my favorites is when he's interviewing Mr. Young Brian Flanagan.
There you go.
Yeah. You have to say it right.
He asks him, have you ever throw a 400-pound psychopath out of a bar? Brian says, guess I could if I had to. Doug comes back with, what about a 100-pound ballerina who's been speeding for 3 days? Brian replies, just open the door and let her pirouette out to the street. And Doug said, these are some of the tasks you will be asked to perform Young Flanagan. Yeah.
When you say speeding for 3 days, we're talking about drugs.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that means the white lines.
Well, my favorite quote, that's a good one. My favorite quote also involves Brian and Doug. So it's a little short dialogue. So Brian says, "You're offering me a job, Doug," with a simple uh-huh. "The waitresses hate me. You wait till you've given them crabs. Then you'll really know hatred." I love it. I laugh every time. It's gross. But it still makes me laugh.
Another dialogue that I do like that I think it's worth saying is Doug says after one of their shifts, he says, "The name of the game is women. The little darlings come in here panting. Their little hearts a pitter panting for their handsome, all-knowing bartender. And in their wake, a parade of slobbering geeks with one hand on their crotches and the other on their wallets. You get the women, you get the bucks. And boy, oh boy, you've got them. Buttons were popping, skirts were raising. When you can see the color of their panties, then you know you've got talent. Yeah. Stick with me, son, and I'll make you a star."
I know you're reading dialogue, but I don't like how you say panties.
Yeah.
Panties. It's
rough. And your Australian accent needs work.
It needs a little work.
But again, good writing. This movie actually has good writing in it.
It does. Your Australian accent tends to fade into that Irish accent a little.
I do like when he's trying to go for the jobs. It's like, your resume is completely inaquate. I'm willing to start at the bottom. You're aiming too high. I'll do anything. You don't have any experience. I need a job. We value education. We require a degree. You should go to college.
I question that college too. You think it's a JUCO? It looked pretty fancy for a JUCO. I'd look like NYU.
Yeah, he at one point says, "I'm going to." He says the junior college that he's going to.
So
yeah, because it's interesting because when he's in the registration line, it looks like a fancy.
It looks pretty nice.
But when he's talking to Doug later, he says, "By the way, I'm going."
Well, then that might.
And you can see the skyline out the window. Yeah.
So I had a question. I had a question about he's studying at the bar. By the way, you notice he's playing with that bottle?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise always says to play with something. In Top Gun, he had the dog tags.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then in Few Good Men, he had to have his bat.
Yeah.
He's doing that in this one. He's always going to have little toys. What's going on here?
He just doesn't know what to do with his hands.
I know.
I don't know what to do when I get nervous.
The point I'm trying to make is he's thinking with that, and he falls asleep. And that janitor, or the busboy goes, "Mr. Flanagan, it's time to go to college. What time of the day is this? Why is he at work? If this is TGI Fridays, what's going on?" And they're all there. I'm like, what time does this place open?
TGI Fridays in New York does not close.
And if he's working at night, he can't be taking classes at night too. So I don't know.
Doing the best he can. Okay,
I'm aware.
Trying to make it before closing.
He quit college really fast. Although I do have to say, I'm no business professor.
Yeah,
but his idea wasn't that bad about. Franchising them in every mall.
That professor went a little too hard at that old lady.
She was a working mom,
and she like burnt her husband's dinner. She's starting to cry.
We all went to college. The professor's getting paid. He doesn't care if you fall asleep.
Yeah, he's not going to yell at you to wake up. He's just going to give you an F.
Blue shirt in the back,
and they don't call out your papers.
F.
Oh yeah. C-. Yeah. B+. Nobody does that. That's weird. So, all right.
The other line I do like is at the very beginning. He says, "Flat beer from Rusty Pipes. If you only knew how much I missed it." Ooh. And I really like that line.
That's good.
Good writing. I do like the writing.
Good writing.
Anyway,
which leads us to category two.
When you say good writing, category two should show some of this solid writing off.
It's right up there with a bartender with a lifestyle like him.
It's great. Yeah, it's wonderful. Great delivery. So, all right, then we'll let since this is a writing masterpiece, Rob, we'll let you start category two, which is worst or dumbest.
I have too many.
Too many.
You get one
but
first.
It's such good writing.
You pick one, and then we get to
you
go.
You took one of them.
Which one? The crabs one?
No. Okay. I know which one I'm doing.
All right.
Okay. So it's later in the movie.
Yeah.
He's with the lady.
Jordan. Bonnie.
Bonnie. There you go. He's with Bonnie. They go to the art show. He's a little tipsy.
He is tipsy.
He's hating life.
Yep.
He gets into a fisticuffs with the artist.
Yeah. I don't like that guy. His shirt's too big.
The artist tells him, very flowy, a down boy or something like that. He's a down boy. You haven't party trained this one. And the artist says, "You're drunk." And Brian replies with, "You're ugly.
You're ugly."
That's all he had.
Solid writing, Rob. There you go.
I'm like, that's all you, with some of the dialogue that was really good.
Yeah.
And then you come back with, and you're ugly. Yeah.
Well, mine is, and I think one of you two said it a little bit already, but it's when she takes him back to the loft. And he goes, is this our waterfall? She says, no. Well, it's terrific, Jordan. Yeah, it's all right. And the name's Mooney, not Monet. That's horrific.
But the way she says it, too, she says it so, like, downtrodden, you know.
Well, like she knows she's a bad artist.
Wait a minute. The whole thing is she zinged herself. You'd think you'd be zinging Tom Cruise. No, no, I'm just going to bag on my own. Now, look, you're right. She probably has accepted the fact. Look, I suck. I got it. But Dad says I can live here and paint camels on the wall. crap. So she's just a terrible artist. Yep. So, all right. What do you got, Kurt?
All right. Mine's with when Jordan and Brian were talking, and it's just a corny, your Flugelbinder is out there waiting to be discovered.
She's like, got a lot of corny lines.
See, that's what I mean. I think that's part of the reshoot or something, because I think I had really good writing, and then they come up with this.
Because the Flugelbinder was what Elizabeth Shue and Tom Cruise came up on their own. Well, so they wrote that themselves.
Great improv.
Or should I say it just writes itself.
Great improv right there. Perfect. Hey, Elizabeth, try. Let's just riff a little. See what you come up with.
I'm pretty sure they both.
Flugelbinder.
Oh, okay. They both used to work at Second City.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
They're on stage.
You can see that.
They definitely have some training chops right there. That's right.
They missed that improv class.
I heard on the set of Karate Kid once, somebody said Flugelbinder. Let's play with it.
Let's use it.
So, all right. Then that takes us to category three. We'll go back to something good. You wanted more.
No.
Well, you have more dumb quotes.
Yes, there is.
Oh, my dumb quote?
Yeah, what one was yours?
It's when she says, the name's Mooney, not
Mooney.
Monet.
Yeah. And okay. And
mine's Flugelbinder.
Yeah. Yep. You got any other dumb quotes?
Oh, well, there's a lot, but
you
that's
can take
okay.
a couple of
no,
samples.
That's fine.
I went with you see a guy lays down a dare. You take it.
Oh, you take it. I'm like, that was one of the lessons I was going to talk about.
My thing was.
Not 21.
My thing was, he's saying that to her. And I'm like, read the room, bro. Like, that's not a good thing to say right now. Like you need to check out the vibe of what's happening here.
But he's so wrapped up in himself, he doesn't care.
You were coming on too strong down there. Now, I will say, my son did mention she was sitting on the beach. It's like, okay, I don't know how long your montage was, but do we want to give him 2 to 5 days?
I don't know.
Let's just pretend. Yeah. Let's say it was a week.
It's hard to tell because she's in the same bathing suit. So
she's in the same bathing suit, same pants.
So we'll say 5 days, but they're sitting on the beach after they've had some coitus. And,
goodness.
So they're sitting on the beach and she starts talking about kids. And he's like, kids. And I remember my son, Connor, goes,
wow.
Kids, that seems like a lot. And then when he says in the loft, he goes, you were coming on strong. He goes, a little bit.
A little bit. He's not lying there.
So,
what's Nick Cage say in The Rock? Goes, whoa, slow down.
Marriage police.
Marriage police.
Known him a week.
Yeah.
Right. Kids. I can see our kids. I'm like, that red flags should have been blinking all over the place, but it's all good. So,
the only other one I marked here was it's when she's with Bonnie, or he's with Bonnie, and she says, I've been thinking about you all day. He said, really? A plane ride home will cure that.
Cure that.
Like, wow.
That's good.
Okay.
Again, zinging yourself in this movie. I don't know. Like, I feel like the insult should go the other way.
I do have a few more, but I'm going to save them for, I think, later on.
Okay.
That's smart.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, category three is our favorite scene in the movie. Ooh. I'll start this one off. I'm going to go with the bar scene in Jamaica when he's talking to Jordan after helping her friend. I know you said he abandoned the bar, but he did get the ambulance, so that was helpful. Coughlin shows up, and I love the absolute disgust on Jordan's face when he's talking because he keeps putting his arm on her, and he's like, he goes, he's got a book behind the bar or something like that.
Yeah.
He said something like, he goes, I taught him everything he knows. She goes, doubt that. You know, she's just throwing roast right back. But when he's flirting with Jordan, he's basically, like I said earlier, Maverick. It's just Maverick from Top Gun. Mm-hmm. Like just throwing it back and forth. And it's like Tom Cruise, just go be charming for 10 minutes. And that's what he did. But his shirts are too baggy. He's got those shirts. They're just too big.
It was the style.
The 80s big shirts. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that big of a shirt on my body, but maybe I didn't have the frame that Tom Cruise did in 1988. I was a wee baby. I was like 12 years old. So, all right. Well, that's my favorite scene. It was in Jamaica when he first meets Jordan.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, I like it.
I went with the cell block poetry.
Good.
I thought you were going to go with that with your opening. That was so great. So
but mine supersedes it so well. I don't want to double up on that.
I just like how the entire bar stopped. Nobody's drinking. Oh. Nobody ordering drink. Nobody's making drinks.
Somebody yelled out something, you sexy beast, or something like that.
Well, I like when the yuppie poet was going and just somebody randomly goes, stick it up your vulva.
That's right. But you're right. The whole place drops silent. There's no music playing, nothing.
And I don't know what's going on in the late 80s where everyone's going to a bar to hear poetry.
And I got
to
tell you, him writing rhyming snazzy with kamikaze, a little bit of a stretch there.
He needs to change the vocalization of how to say it.
He was Eminem before Eminem.
Okay. I think he's more...
He was more like an Eminem.
I was about to say, I think he's more Snow than he is like...
He's definitely an informer.
Yeah. Definitely an informer. Yeah. He's more Snow than Eminem, I would think so.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is the opening scene where he's come back to the bar the dialogue between him and Uncle Pat. we learn a lot. You know, we learn that the apartment's been repossessed. He offered him a place to work at where his dad used to work. So we learn that his dad was a blue collar guy.
Yeah.
You kind of pick up that he had this blue collar upbringing, which I kind of relate to. Not that after that, I don't relate to anything that young Flanagan experienced. But then he had two quotes in that whole dialogue. He says, "Every man wakes up one fine morning with a wife and kids. Where'd they come from? They weren't there last time I looked. That's because most things in life, good and bad, just kind of happen to
you." Good and bad, he says.
And then later in that same conversation, he says on how to succeed in business, he said, "You outwork, outthink, outscheme, outmaneuver. You make no friends. You trust nobody. And you make damn sure you're the smartest guy in the room whenever the subject of money comes up."
That's it. Bar's closed.
Bar's closed.
But then at the end of that scene, he goes... he goes, "Well, no, I'm going to learn to make it." And he goes, "I think I'll try the city first." And Pat says, "Well, here, you're going to need to do it in style." And he gives him $10.
$10.
And Brian Flanagan says, "Oh, $10, Uncle Pat. Why don't you buy Eddie a binge on me?" And Eddie tries to take the money, but Uncle Pat grabs it really quick and he slams his glass on top of it.
Got
to
be faster.
And Brian says, "Hey, you got to be quicker than that, man." And I think that was a little foreshadowing of... In that you gotcha. Have to be fast. Gotta you got to be fast. Quick. You got to be, and that's what Uncle Pat was trying to teach him. Was that
I think Uncle Pat's a little sketch. First of all, because later
when he comes
back, and he says, "I got her pregnant. She doesn't want nothing from you. Forget about it.
See?
Forget
about it. Yeah. Unless you love her,
leave her on the side of the road. It doesn't matter.
He's a wise guy. I know he is. He's absolutely.
He's at least got ties.
Oh.
He's got ties.
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
It's a friend of a friend.
Yeah. He's a friend of a friend.
They're washing money in the bank.
All right. Well, we'll go to category four, the opposite of what we just did. And we're going to do worst scene. And we'll let you start off with that, Kurt.
All righty. So I went with a not needed scene. I just went with the art show scene.
What? You got to have the art show. He's got to break up with Bonnie.
Yep. Yes, but he had already moved out of the apartment earlier in the day.
He left his spam, though.
Leave a note or just say, "Hey, Bonnie, I'm moving out. It's not working."
I know.
No.
You don't need an entire scene where you get punched in the face and then she slaps you. And it's not doing anything for the actual movie itself.
But there needs to be a little drama with Bonnie, right?
That's there.
I could have been
in the morning when he wasn't getting an interview and just saying, "You know, it's not working out. I'm sorry." "No, Brian." And then
you can make an argument that the entire Bonnie storyline doesn't need to be in the movie whatsoever.
Well, he could have just
kept. No, because he could have just kept working. Well, you have the cheat. You could have the cheating, but the whole flying back with her to New York, none of that storyline was necessary. You just have the cheat. Jordan goes back. You end up going back. You meet up with Jordan. You don't need to have
reason for him to go back.
Yeah, to go back to see Jordan. And he was going back to see Doug.
I was going to say, although his reason to go back originally in his plan was to work down in the Bahamas, then come back and work in New York.
Yeah, so, and then he was going to go be the youngest... A sales manager in the business.
Whatever that business is.
I think you needed that scene, though, or you needed that relationship to show you how desperate he was to make it. He was so desperate that he was willing to... He basically sold his soul.
He turned into somebody... Desperate?
Because he wants to make it so bad, and here's somebody that has connections, and was willing to be somebody he wasn't.
Because when they zoomed in on him,
I mean, she even refers to him as, "Oh, I don't want to show my boyfriend out there." You know, he turned into this lapdog person. You know,
but what I'm getting at is when they first go to Jamaica, the dude's happy as anybody. He's working behind the bar. Right. He's doing, and then all of a sudden he gets like he was fine, and then all of a sudden, "Oh, I gotta go now." It went too fast. Like he was.
Yeah.
He had it made down there. No taxes, all the things, right?
When I was researching, out of the 104-minute movie, only 24 minutes are in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's good. Seems longer.
It seems longer. But like you just said, it just happened real fast. He's here and he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, my worst scene is the opening scene. like the whole thing with the army guys running down the bus is literally we watching not it. Needed.
He's like, what's up with those uniforms? Why are they doing
on.
This?
And I believe there's protocol on how you fly flags on a car.
I got that.
And when you fly flags on a car.
That whole thing is bad. Trust me. There's as the military expert in the room, everything's wrong here. But that's not even the part. The whole rundown of the bus is just unnecessary. Just start with him sitting on the bus.
Yeah.
Like that's all you have to do. Open the movie. He's on the bus. And when he gets off with the duffel bag and they establish he's an army vet, when he talks to Uncle Pat, you don't need, it's just 5 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no dialogue. Yeah. There's nothing going on. Him with the baby going, Duke, we're going to make the money. Like, it's stupid.
We're going to make some money.
It makes no sense. Like that whole, like that was just 10 minutes of nonsense.
You had to get the song in.
No, you don't have to get the song in. That whole part of that first 5 minutes is a waste of time.
Starship.
That's it. Right.
All yeah, right. Waste of time. All right, Rob, what do you got? Worst scene.
The falling down the steps.
Be careful.
Part,
that was a pivotal moment.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, the dialogue the around it was really good.
Wait, what's the song? What Act mean? So funny, make me spend my money. Yeah.
Like a long-necked goose. Well, baby, that's what I like.
I like that he temporarily forgot the lyrics and then you know, and then screams it really loud. Yeah. Even the homeless guy looked up like, I'm sleeping. Have some respect.
Again, good dialogue in this scene.
All right.
They could have ended without the fall down the steps, but Brian says, it is not dignified to get this drunk. Doug says, you are in training. He says, I'm in training for stardom. However, liberated this world becomes a man will always be judged on the amount of alcohol he can consume, and a woman will be impressed whether she likes it or not. Now, come on.
Again, his advice is a little rough.
Brian says, I am not going to make it. Doug says, you are. A star never pukes or passes out in public. He proceeds to fall down the steps. Brian says, holy shit, are you alive? Doug says, however, falling down the stairs is allowed.
Is allowed. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The dialogue prior to that, great.
Great.
Yeah. I do have questions about his, you know, that women will be impressed by the amount of alcohol they can consume.
Oh, it's impressive.
I will go on record and say my wife has never been impressed. Last night we went out for pizza. I had three beers.
You did.
My wife was not impressed.
I don't think she was she was probably impressed with the alcohol consumption, but not the loudness that ensued after.
He wasn't even that loud.
Wasn't that loud.
His children made multiple remarks.
Yes.
Okay. About what?
About him being loud and the things he was saying out loud.
Okay. I did blame something on you. I'm just going to lay that on you.
Okay.
Because my kids said they tried to repeat back something that I said about my wife and I. And they said,
that's interesting.
They started saying, Dad said, and then they couldn't quite quote it correctly.
Okay.
Because they misheard it or whatever. And then I said, it was something Kurt said.
Oh. I mean, it sounds like something Kurt would say.
And then
it was probably something that sounded like.
And then I think Paula was kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that seems right.
If it's from me, your wife gives it a pass, apparently.
Yeah. And if he's loud, it's thumbs up. But, you know, Rob, tone it down a little bit, right? So, anyway, that's okay. You were having a good time.
I threw you under the bus.
I'm okay with that.
That's okay.
When Rob gets pizza and beer going, for all you Robsters out there, the number one meal, pizza and beer. That'll be Rob right there for you.
Rob
pizza
just wanted beer. Another.
Give me another. Bring another wench.
I believe the words bar wench did come out of your mouth.
Out of his mouth. They did. That's why I'm saying it. So, because I'm repeating what he said this time. So,
bring me another ale.
All right. Yes. Well, anyway. That takes us to category five, our favorite actor / character in the movie. We'll let Rob start this one out.
I like Doug Coughlin.
I'm also on the Doug train.
Ooh, Doug choo-choo. We got a three-way on the Doug train.
Doug.
Doug. I'm sorry, Doug.
Doug three-way. As long as I get a red eye.
That's right. We're just going to drink or be gone.
Drink or be gone. He's got the best lines. I think he's most genuine to what his character is the whole time. Like Flanagan, again, Cruz's character evolves into different versions of himself. Coughlin's the same from start to finish. Yeah.
Well, and you said it in another episode on another, I don't remember. There's been too many.
Too many.
It's been so long ago. But you, in one movie, you talked about how one of the actors on scene, I think it might have been Con Air.
Oh.
And you were like, everybody came on set, and then there's Malkovich. Malkovich is doing a different movie.
Yeah.
He's a.
I said the same thing in The Rock, where Ed Harris is in a completely different movie than everybody else.
And I think this is similar, where Brian Brown came on set.
Yeah.
He's a different caliber. He blew everybody. I mean, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He came to act.
Yeah. Because he read that first script that was the best script he'd ever read.
And I think he just stands out in this movie. You're like, that guy's an actor. Everybody else was just hanging out. You know. I wonder if he ever looked back and went, I didn't, that didn't turn out Well, and he says that, right? Yeah. That it didn't turn out how he thought it was going to turn out.
But, well, Kurt, what brought you into the Doug Minaj?
Mine was he had, like Rob said, he did have all the best lines.
He did.
He had the laws.
He had the Doug.
And since we were just talking about the wives, here's one. No matter how far she is, she'll hear you.
She'll hear you.
See? That's so good. You had another one that says, they're at that party and he goes, proctologist dream.
Dream, yeah.
What?
Wall-to-wall assholes.
Yeah. I do have a question. That's great. It wasn't in my questions, but I have a question. Why did Gina Gershon actually cheat on Flanagan? I can't,
Because he told Doug they had sex.
But did he? I mean, he never really did.
Yeah,
and then she says, so I think Doug just made it up just to win his $50 back.
Mm-hmm.
But why did she go for Doug? Like, that was too easy. Doug's not that big of a heartthrob.
Had to move the story along.
She was sleazy. She was looking for the next thing. And
I'm willing to be the next thing. It was fine.
I think
Gina, come on over.
I know this sounds like bad logic.
Oh, yes. I like it.
But I think Doug was trying to teach him a lesson. He was trying to show
great lesson.
You need to build some calluses, like this world's going to screw you over.
Anytime.
And trust me, this girl's going to screw you over. So I'm just going to be the one that does it for you.
Yeah. Anytime you need to teach someone a lesson, sleep with their significant other.
Right.
And then they'll go, oh, thanks. Right. I appreciate it.
A lesson we learned from this movie, right?
Well, of course.
Because then we're going to meet up in Jamaica and everything's good. And then it's a buddy film.
Yeah. I just like how Doug, every time he sees somebody new, oh, this is young Mr. Flanagan, my protege.
I built him. You're doing the Irish accent again.
So sorry.
He's Australian.
Okay. I like
it. We have a lot of fans in Australia. I think they'd appreciate it if we at least attempted the Australian version of this accent.
I don't think anybody wants us to attempt any accent. I think it'd be
best. Just keeps happening, and I apologize.
All right. Well, that takes us to category six. Now, this is a new category for us. A little work you have to put into this one. But I asked for your favorite non-star actor. A recognizable actor in the movie, but doesn't have a huge part, or they're new, you know, something like that. So. Yeah. Kurt, why don't you lead us off?
Go with me. All right. I was originally going to go with Uncle Pat, but
Uncle Pat.
But Rob stole all my stuff.
Also a coach in Rudy.
Yes, he was in Rudy, Risky Business, The Breakfast Club, Cocktail, The Babe, The Fugitive, The Client, The Dark Knight.
Yeah, he's quite the character actor.
But I'm going to go with Paul Benedict, the finance teacher.
Oh.
Just because he was a memorable
He from before this?
Which one was he? He was the one that was the jerk.
He's the one that failed them.
Yeah.
What was he in?
You get an F in this course.
That's right.
He's a dramatic teacher.
Oh, he was in something.
He's been in Sesame Street, The Jeffersons.
Yeah. Oh, Jeffersons. That's what I remember him from that.
Yeah.
So he seems like a burly man.
He's
a big guy.
Big shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in This Is Spinal Tap, apparently. Nice.
Well, he's Googling. You tell us.
Well, I did go with Uncle Pat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Uncle Pat. Played by Ron Dean, all the things you just said. And I just put the voice of reason. I think he was kind of the glue in this movie. He started with him at the bar. He went back to him when he found out he was pregnant. He ends with him. You know, he's Uncle Pat's his dad, basically. He was his adapted dad.
I wanted to go with him originally, too, just because, like you said, he was kind of like, he basically told you the whole story right at the beginning.
Yeah, he did.
Even the part about dumping her when she was pregnant.
That's right.
Real quick. Yeah. She doesn't want nothing. Get out of there.
My favorite Uncle Pat line was servicing all the widows in the neighborhood.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Pat.
Pat was rough, man.
Pat was rough.
Yeah. And I quite honestly would have liked to have seen this movie tease a little bit more out about Brian's background and upbringing. I think it would have been.
You're trying to go way too far.
Dad had a bad job and arthritis.
Yeah. You're digging way too deep into this. Look, I just want to see some bottles fly and I want to see some ladies. And this is all I need.
Give me just need flair bartending.
That's all I need. Flair bartending. So, mine is Gina Gershon. This is her first major role. She'd been in Pretty in Pink, some others, but I'm just going to make it simple. She is 80s hot. Everything's working here. She's got that bright pink lipstick. She's wearing one long earring, one short earring. Yeah. The hair's teased.
She's very ticklish.
She is just, very ticklish. Yeah,
I was going to ask you, her style.
I love her style.
Coitus style.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of all over the place.
Well, no, that was because Tom Cruise was tickling her. It was a real thing where Tom knew she was ticklish. Tickled her until they fell off the bed, just happened to be the same thing.
Rob makes some points. There's some odd. I mean, I think they're reading the Kama Sutra because
she's a flailer.
He's coming out in the wrong side. Hey,
sometimes you go top to bottom, bottom to top.
We slept front to back.
I don't know. Yeah,
he was just thirsty. Had to come down.
I guess I was trying to imagine in my that doesn't work.
She sells kind of the being
geometry doesn't.
Yeah, it'll work. Don't worry.
Okay.
Well, there's always a way.
I will. We'll go over it later, Rob.
No.
I just think she sells
being Mooney drawings.
We'll do it. Our best Mooney drawings. I think she just is perfect 80s trash yuppie.
Yeah.
Perfect at that time, and she looks good. There's nothing else she can say about it. So, all right. Well, that takes us to category 7.
Ooh,
worst. Actor slash I think we're actress gonna have in a movie.
Another menage?
I think we might have a
menage. I'm going to go first on this one.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see if we have the menage. So I'm going with the actress that plays Doug's wife, Kelly Lynch.
Yes.
A prominent actress in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
She was better in Roadhouse.
Yes. And you have her as well?
I have Kelly.
I do not.
Okay. So we'll talk about her real quick. She's already kind of bad throughout the movie. Her delivery is not great, but she does that part at the apartment where she's like, "You're scared. You're just scared." That's awful. That looks like a high school play.
That was
or
another bad
like that.
Line
that
where really she bad. Says, "I can't get with my old man, my friend's old lady."
Well, and she says, "What am I supposed to be with one man the rest of my life?"
It's called marriage.
I'm like, what is going on right now?
My favorite line of hers when they're in the Bahamas at a bar, and she goes, "I've never seen a club with such intense dance vibes."
And it's just, not even going.
Her delivery is just terrible.
I'm not a dancer. She's and those horrible. Weren't dance vibes.
When we did the bad lines earlier, I was like, anything she says.
Well, she's openly making out with people.
Yes.
But I will say when they're on his boat or his yacht, she comes down the steps wearing that black floss bikini.
Yes.
And you're just like, hello. Oh, she got extra swimsuits. Elizabeth Shue, you get one black one piece.
She had the rest of the fabric.
Kurt had originally watched an edited version because it's free on TV. But then he got the actual version.
It was on sale on Amazon last night.
And when they're in the waterfall.
Oh, I paid $9.
When they're in the waterfall and then they end up on the beach.
Yeah.
Coitus.
Yeah.
Coitus.
We do get some great New York side boob.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
From Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue.
My wife was watching. She's like, well, she's quite top heavy. That's what she said.
That was what she said.
And Tom was just going, oh, fall over.
Fall over.
I can hear your wife saying that.
Top heavy.
She's quite top heavy.
No, that just sounds like we're getting old
She's
quite top heavy.
She's quite buxom.
Wow.
She's just, that's why they had that one piece strapped down on her pin her into place.
That's right. Okay. They didn't want too much going on.
Okay. I just
want
to be in wardrobe. Elizabeth Shue, could I get another swimsuit? Nope. The one piece black is perfect for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Everyone else in the movie, the girls are all kind of dressed nice.
Yeah.
She's really frumpy the whole time.
Yeah.
And I know she's pregnant later, but even in the Bahamas, she's wearing a lot of clothes all the time. A lot of these culotte pants and things.
Flowy things.
Flowies.
It's too bad. She's an attractive lady.
Okay.
So,
well, that's a good segue because my worst favorite actress was Elizabeth Shue.
No way.
Absolutely.
No. She's not doing the worst job here.
No.
She's doing the worst job.
So I will give her this. In 1996, she was up for Best Actress.
In Leaving Las Vegas.
And she was up against
Kay.
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, listen to this lineup.
Yes.
And tell me who, in 1996, there wasn't a hole in the space-time continuum.
Okay.
So you had Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
Susan Sarandon, Sharon Stone,
good.
Meryl Streep, and Emma Thompson.
Who won?
Sharon Sarandon, or Susan Sarandon for Dead Men Walking. Yeah. Sharon Stone and Elizabeth Shue on the same lineup.
Is that for Sliver?
I don't know. Probably.
Because if you're in a movie with a Baldwin, not even an Alec, you're getting an Oscar nom.
You're getting an Oscar.
Well,
just for putting up with it.
So I went to the internet. To
all by yourself
because I don't like I did.
Someone was monitoring.
I'm not a huge Elizabeth Shue fan, so I thought I'm going to see what here are the reasons the internet dislikes Elizabeth Shue.
Oh my gosh,
she was pretty good in films like Adventures and Babysitting and Cocktail, but the problem is in every film she plays Elizabeth Shue.
Okay,
she has an annoying face.
Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise.
I don't think literally her face is annoying.
Yeah, somebody said because she spells her name with an S instead of a Z.
I approve.
That's really dumb. She I could like be it. Very charming and winning in many roles, but I'm not sure if she had much range.
I think she's
good. I don't know. Her eyebrows, they just don't work.
Well, here's, I want to go on record right now as the driver of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We are big Elizabeth Shue fans on this podcast.
Okay.
So, Elizabeth, I know you're listening, and we like you a lot. Okay.
You're fantastic.
So everything Rob is saying right now is hearsay. It's heresy, actually, is what it is.
Well, it's questionable for her to fall back on babysitting if she doesn't find work as an actor. She couldn't deal with having a prettier brother, Andrew Shue. I was always distracted by how she seemed to lead with her chin. I don't know. I get the feeling that acting was never a big passion for her.
I think we've had enough Elizabeth Shue.
And then for you today. The name's Mooney, not Monet, just the way she delivered that line.
I know that wasn't a good line. I got it. All right. So
she's not a good actress.
I think she's outside fabulous. Of a couple lines, if I think she's pretty good. If you ever
saw her on CSI, she was not great.
She had some good quips when he was like, I bet you thought you'd never see me again. She goes, hoped is a better word. Yeah, that was a good delivery. Yeah. I like that. That was a good zinger.
Compared him to a dog.
That's right. She
was, at least a dog would be loyal.
Loyal. Mm. I always, that scene where she's yelling at him, she's smiling half the time. So I'm like, she's never really mad at him.
No,
she's right. Just like, no, I don't know. What no. I didn't understand
how she's not a good crier.
You got changed.
That scene in the hallway where he punches the clerk and then she just kind of does this weird thing up it's against dramatic. The wall. Like,
it was dramatic.
Oh, whatever.
Imagine being in your apartment, fighting with your dad, fighting with the doorman. I think Alfred was helping out a little bit, right? The butler. So the butler. There's a lot of things going on up there.
But
so.
he's winded because he's smoking. He's a smoker.
That's right. Yeah. All right, well, that takes us to category eight.
Eight.
We talked about it earlier, huge soundtrack for this. Lots of great music in the movie. So what was your favorite song from the movie, whether in the movie, on the soundtrack, however it landed, what was your favorite? We'll go with Rob first.
I went with Powerful Stuff, The Ooh. Fabulous Thunderbirds. Ooh. I always remember liking that song I had the cassette.
Yeah. I thought for you it would be that or the Georgia Satellites.
Yeah, that was a good one too. Yeah, Hippie Hippie Shake. Yeah. Yep. I like the line that says, she walks down the street knocking them dead. Store window dummies even turn their heads.
Beautiful.
Show enough.
Is that more of that great writing?
Powerful Stuff. There you go.
Yep. What do you got, Kurt?
I went with the Kokomo. Just Ooh, makes you feel good like you're just Kokomo. Relaxing on a beach.
That's right.
Even though it was not one of the well-received critically
for it
the
was Beach nominated Boys. For a Grammy,
nominated
though.
For a Grammy.
It Number was, one hit. But it's Blender's top 50 yeah, worst songs, I like Dallas it. Observer's right. 10 worst songs, but I think like it's it. Fun.
But when you sing it, when it comes on, you sing it. You
I
know
think
it.
It's fun, yeah.
Plus, so. Like you said, it's got the Stamos in the music video.
That's right. Can't go wrong with Uncle Jesse.
That's right.
So, well, I've got Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer. Mm. It's not on the soundtrack, but it's in the movie. It just makes the 80s vibe when he turns it down and the whole bar is like addicted to love. I'd like it.
Right? I like it.
It gets a good vibe. Their bartending's a little nonsense, but that's fine. I don't need the flair bartending. Again, I just want my rum and Coke. Can I just get my drink? Oh, they'll be back on stage in 5 minutes. I just want a beer. Let's go.
Just want a beer.
It's the worst bar I've ever been to. Are there any bars where they don't flip bottles and they just pour the drinks? Yeah. That's all I need. I just want to go to that place.
Just want that one.
So, but yeah, so Addicted to Love. So good. You can't go wrong. A lot of good songs in this. I think some people would say the soundtrack's the best part, right? But
I think a lot of people say that.
So, yep. Okay. So, well, I've got an extra category.
Uh-oh.
What?
You guys love the extras.
We hate it.
All right. If you could recast one of the three main characters. Hold on.
I hate the recast.
If you could recast one of the three main characters in the movie and the other two have to stay the same. So Flanagan, Coughlin, or Jordan, who would you replace and with what actor or actress would you replace them with?
Oh. So
we'll start off with you, Kurt.
What? Wow. Yeah. No time to think.
Well, I'll give you time to think. I'll do mine and then you guys can think.
I was going
to
say, How's you always sound? Have plenty of time because you come I up do. With it yeah, I come up 5 days before.
Here's what I'm going to do. All right. I'm going to sub out Tom Cruise. All right. I'm going to get a new Mr. Flanagan in here. No, a young Mr. Flanagan. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Mark Wahlberg. All right. So I'm going to put him into this spot.
Okay. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see this going, you know, a couple ways. You know, he could, like when he breaks into the apartment and he's like, hey, Mr. Mooney, I'm here to get your daughter. You know, I'm here to get Jordan. She's pregnant with my kid and I got to take
care
of her.
That's the worst.
That's the worst.
And he says, hey, there's more. He's like, I'm here to get Jordan.
That can't be right.
He goes, you know, my brother Donnie, he's got a friend named Jordan. They're in a band together. New Kids on the Block. They're really great.
Oh, my God.
So you can see the Wahlbergs. They like to take care of Jordans. I'm going to be a bartender. I'm going to take care of her.
What the hell?
I believe this was his imitation he was telling us
about. He warned us. It's not going to offend anybody. Oh,
no, it's not going to be.
I think he comes up with these extra categories just so he can do this.
No,
gives him a vehicle.
You know, if you have some fun with it, you got to have a little fun.
If you have some fun with it.
I'm going to open Cocktails and Dreams, sir. I'm going to make it real good. I don't need you $10,000.
Oh, goodness.
Right now, I'd like to do poetry, but maybe in the 90s, I'll rap a little bit. It's like rhyming. It's the same thing. I could take my shirt off. I'm in pretty good shape. I did a lot of push-ups down in Jamaica. I was always on the beach.
It just keeps going.
Wow. I don't even know.
Let's put Mark Wahlberg in this. We'll have some fun. Wow. Right? Him and his Calvin Kleins flipping bottles.
I'll just throw one out there.
Go ahead.
Because Rob doesn't like the Elizabeth Shue. Let's throw Molly Ringwald in there.
Just for
another 80s actress to throw in there.
That's interesting.
Are we doing 80s Molly Ringwald?
Yeah, you can throw it.
I mean, are we remaking it that way?
So.
You just put whatever actor you want in. You can make it as relevant as
you
want.
I just try to keep it 80s approved.
Yeah. I like it. So Molly Ringwald? Yeah, I don't know the chemistry between Cruise and Ringwald, but we'll see what happens.
Tom Cruise has chemistry with everybody.
Plus, she can't be down in Jamaica. She's going to burn to a crisp down there.
She's got the whole swimsuit on. That's why the one piece works for her, so she doesn't burn.
The big sun hat.
Put an extra sun hat. She's fine.
The nose will just be white the whole time.
That's right. Super sexy. Super sexy.
You're looking good, Molly. So what do you got, Rob?
Gosh. I think to play off the whole kind of Irish, you know, kind of the ethnic part of that.
Oh, good.
Go like a Boston angle and do like a Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay.
And do.
That'll work.
Yeah. Because I think he does some of his best work when he's doing.
If you get like Good Will Hunting, Armageddon, yes, Ben Affleck.
That's what I mean. When you're doing. When the Southie in him comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's at his finest. And I think if you got that crew and you got a little grittier with the streets of.
Well, you know, Boston. Nicholson was up for Coghlan. How would that have looked?
I can see that.
Coghlan's Laws.
Oh, God. Buckle up, kids. This is going to be a while with the Nicholson.
Oh, the people at home are going, oh, crap.
Not again.
Not again.
No brawling in here. Oh, okay. Mm, all right. That's probably enough substitutions. Okay, so final judgment. So you get to weigh in one last time. Is it good because it's of the 80s nostalgia or just a complete train wreck of a movie? And you have to defend your position. So let's start with you, Rob.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's a train wreck.
Okay.
I quite liked it. I think it has a place in 80s cinema. I think because I think it is. It hits all the marks of an 80s movie and 88 and all the kind of things that were going on at the time culturally and capitalism, all those things. I think it could have been better, though. I think the storyline was really good, and I think the writing could be better. I think
you've said 100 times the writing was fantastic.
Yeah. Nope, could be better.
I think you're so confusing today. But I think it got cut apart and reshot, and I don't know.
That's right.
I don't think it turned out to be the movie that it could have been. I think it could have been actually a really, really, really good
potential.
Movie.
Potential.
Yeah. What do you got?
I got it's not complete garbage.
Okay, good.
It's got its spot for 80s, but it's just choppy.
Ah, okay.
Just like you said, the chopping it up, it didn't flow as well as I wanted it to, but you can still watch it, have a good time, soundtrack helps.
So that's me. The good time is where it's at. So for me, look, is this going to win an Oscar? No. Is it written that well? I don't really think so. the editing sucks. Yeah. He's got different length of hair throughout the movie. Some of the scenes are a little funky.
Yeah.
But I just turned my brain off for an hour and a half, and it's just fun. The bottles are flipping, good music, some pregnancy stuff and all that, but it all works out in the end. It all works out.
It's fine.
So, hey, we did want a fun fact. Kurt and I, we were watching the movie. You know Bonnie. We talked about her earlier.
Bonnie.
She's like the cougar he was capturing, right? We looked her up, and Kurt and I were astounded. She was 33 when she filmed this movie. I thought she was like a 45-year-old lady that he was supposed, like a cougar he's supposed to be going after. Yeah. She's like 5 years older than Tom Cruise.
And she's passed away, I believe.
Oh,
Okay. I think I did. I
confirm that, because last time we did a show, you said, "Oh, I think he's dead," and then he turned out to be quite alive. So I'd like to not quote those things if it's not true. So,
well, for a long time we thought Roxette was still alive.
And I think that was bad on us.
Bonnie did die June 14th, 2021.
So, well, R.I.P. Yeah. But I mean, she didn't have a lot to work with in this movie. But I just think it's nostalgically fun to watch, and I just have fun with it. And I'll always go back and watch it. So, but I actually had one other person. So my son, my 17-year-old son, watched this with me, and he'd never seen it before. So he is he's a perfect canvas to go, what are we doing here? And as a person who didn't grow up in the 80s, he's looking at this and going, what? I asked him to write a review.
Yeah.
He wrote a review. So okay, I'm going to read it. It's actually worded decently. Yeah. So that's good.
He does all words.
Right. At first glance, I thought that Cocktail was the forgetful movie from the 80s that displayed one of Tom Cruise's poorest performances on the big screen. After watching this film and Googling how well this movie did, I don't think that it gets enough credit for how enjoyable it is. This movie showcases nearly every side of Tom Cruise's dashing and emotional personality through a roller coaster of events. Albeit the general plot and goal of the movie sways a bit towards the end, quickly shifting the focus of the film from the lighthearted interactions between Brian Flanagan and Doug Coughlin in the bar to rom-com-esque events between Brian and Jordan. Overall, the movie has some questionable moments throughout the whole thing, but I think this is a very good film to watch with friends and family and have fun. A solid 7 out of 10. P.S. You probably will mention it, but don't forget to talk about Tom Cruise's frequent hair growth and loss in many scenes throughout the movie. So that was his review of Cocktail after watching it one time with me. So.
Well, my nephew can, great job. Take my spots. See you later, boys.
No, I'm going to go on record and say I would like more reviews from him.
Oh, okay.
I would.
I'm going to bring those to
because
the table.
Because unlike the movie, Connor that was well written.
So here we go. We will have a new segment. We'll call it Connor's Corner.
I like it.
We'll get him a button, and then I'll read his reviews. Yes.
And here's what I like about it. I like it because of what you just said. He didn't grow up in the 80s.
Nope.
So he's watching it first time.
That's correct.
And I think that's good. I think it's it's an added perspective that I think is
I already had an opinion of this movie. Now you were texting me many times. This is a bad movie. And then you did not think that here in the end.
Yeah, it's
lovable garbage?
It's lovable garbage.
Okay,
I do like that.
Well, I think that covers everything you would ever need to know about Cocktail. You guys got anything else?
I do not.
Checks his notes for three minutes. Well, I have some closing thoughts, but
yeah, we'll get to your closing thoughts.
We'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
It's on the list.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to contact the show, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all the social media sites from Facebook to X, Instagram, YouTube. You go over to YouTube, you can watch us. If we're not the most handsome guys on YouTube, I don't know who that would be, but it's probably us. You should subscribe, have fun over there. And we've provided all those links in the show notes. You can just Google us if you need to and put in Totally A's and I's Recall. You'll find us everywhere on the internet, I promise.
You can also find us at our website, totally80s90srecall@podbean.com. And finally, feel free to email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com, where you can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello. We like to be greeted and talked to. We get lonely sometimes.
We do.
Yeah. We look forward to hearing from all of our loyal listeners throughout the world.
All the land.
Yes.
And in this case, particularly maybe Australia. With Brian Brown being in the old
cup. That's right. Yeah. All right. Finally, if you enjoy the show, please take a quick moment to give us 5 stars and write us a review. It goes a long way to help grow the show. Also, we have a merchandise store, which you can find in the show notes or on our website, where you can find things like t-shirts and coffee cups. They're just for fun to give you a chance to show off what a big fan you are of Totally 80s and 90s Recall, whether that's no fancy goodbyes or to flex about being a Robster.
Flex.
With all that, you think we're getting to the end. We are almost there, but Rob has what we call closing thoughts.
Oh, button. Ooh.
Deep thoughts with Rob. Yes.
Hey, so what I wanted to do, because what we didn't really tease out is, so producer, screenwriter, former Sony story analyst and blogger, Ken Miyamoto says that this about Coughlin's laws, the character of Doug Coughlin drops some bar wisdom on this lad throughout the film, bits of wisdom that he calls Coughlin's laws, quote, Douglas Coughlin, logical negativist, flourished in the last part of the 20th century, propounded a set of laws the world generally ignores to its detriment. Here they are, accompanied by how you can apply them to your life.
Ooh.
Okay. Throughout the, he says, drink or be gone. It means to cut all the bullshit and just get down to business. Anything else is always something better.
I like that one.
The grass is always greener on the other side, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's really better. It seems that way when you're in a situation you want to get out of, whether it be a relationship or job. Next one. Never show surprise. Never lose your cool. This is self-explanatory. You can apply this to your job, job interviews, negotiations, etc. Next one. Never tell tales about a woman. No matter how far she is, she'll hear you.
She'll hear you.
It can apply to men, women, coworkers, peers, classmates, etc. When you talk behind people's backs, they'll always end up finding out. So don't do it. Either keep your mouth shut and your emotions in check, or just handle the matter face to face. Next one. Bury the dead. They stink up the joint. Don't linger, and this means don't linger on the past. It's done. Get over it. Move on. And the last one, as far as the rest of Coughlin's laws, ignore them. The guy was always full of shit.
That's right.
And in the end, don't live and die by anyone's perceived wisdom. Trust yourself. There you go.
That's some good closing thoughts, Rob.
That is. Oh,
thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
So, well, per the great Doug Coughlin, the luck is gone, the brain is shot, but the liquor we still got. It's definitely closing time on this episode as we took a look back at the 1988 classic Cocktail. We'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out. I said that too fast. First-timers or subscribers for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour
plus. You almost had it.
Of some cocktails and dreams and didn't spook you. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes, Totally 80s and 90s Recall, every Tuesday.
What are we doing for our next show?
For our next show, we are, it's our first show where we're going to feature a singular band.
Okay.
And we are going to be covering my favorite band of all time, and one you perhaps enjoy a little bit.
I do.
We will be doing a full episode on Nirvana.
Oh, I'm excited. Good one.
Ooh, that's gonna be excited. I'm excited as well.
I'm excited. This will be good.
We're excited together.
It's been done.
It's been
many
done.
Times by other.
Oh, I'm you sure. Know, yeah. They'll probably have way better information than what we got. But we're still going to do it.
It's fun.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
That's right.
So, well, you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Kurt, you got anything else?
I do not.
Fancy goodbyes?
No fancy goodbyes.
Ooh. That was a great show, guys. You did really good. That was really great.
Oh, my God.
That was a great show.
It was really good.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Say hello to your mother for me.